Well, no, you don't need so much aggression behind it.
Welcome to Mike's Divided, everybody, as we talk about sports and the news of sports and everything that is sports. Today we're going to be talking about the NBA draft, more specifically the first round of the NBA draft and all the prospects going in and where we predict that they will go. Zach's going to inform us a little bit right here about the rules and regulations about committing and hiring the agents and all that stuff. Zach, take it away.
So yeah, for now, April 21st is the last day for early entry eligibility. Players can enter the draft and not sign with an agent or sign with an NBPA and NCAA certified agent to keep their NCAA eligibility. Once they sign with a non-certified agent or do not withdraw their name before the deadline, they forgo their ability to play in college.
Okay. And that's where we stand right now. And a bunch of these guys have already committed to going to the NBA at the next level. But we're going to start here with number 30 pick, and that is the Boston Celtics, as they have gotten that pick from the Milwaukee Bucks. And we're going to start out here with Jamias Ramsey. And talk to us a little bit, Jamias Ramsey, and what you think about him, Zach.
He's a 6'4", 195-pound shooting guard from Texas Tech to start. He's a 43% shooter from three. But he needs to work on his free throws. He shoots 64%, but as a guard.
Yeah, that's really not good. And, you know, I felt a little bit like that when we had Trayvon Duval back there at Duke, and he kind of felt that way when shooting free throws. It just was not that accurate. And that's got to be something, as a guard, you're getting to the line a lot. So it's got to be something that you're really able to capitalize on when you get to that point.
Getting to that 80% range.
Absolutely. So let's move on now to the Los Angeles Lakers pick, and with Precious Achiuwa. And Precious really had to step up a lot this season because of really with the, you know, departure of James Wiseman and really not having a lot of efficiency from him. But Precious, a 6'9", 223-pound power forward out of Memphis. I mean, the guy really led the team in points and assists. He stepped up. What else do you have to say about him?
Hey, someone needed to step up since James Wiseman, after three games, was suspended.
Right.
Memphis went 21-10.
It's not bad.
No, he stepped up. He was the guy, and that's why he's the guy going to the draft.
Well, and you know, with Hardaway now, we have all the... Really, the way that they're being able to recruit nowadays has gotten a lot better for them. So I feel as though with Hardaway stepping up and being able to be that the coach with his recruiting class and being able to – Memphis is going to be kind of up there for a while now. And really, when they start to prove what they can do in the actual draft – in the tournaments, I really feel like that's going to be something that bodes well for them and can really get them to the next level. So
absolutely. And moving on to number 28, we have the Toronto Raptors. Kira Lewis Jr., tell me about him.
Yeah, coming out of Alabama, really having to face some fierce competition there in the SEC, it's going to be, you know, that's really prepared him for the next level, and that's something that I think we can really look at him and being able to really see how he was able to execute and having to face that competition that, you know, people with Kentucky and stuff, the players that will be eventually in the NBA and having to play them, already being at that point and having to play those players is really going to be a good factor for him going into the draft. So somebody that was able to put up 148 rebounds, 162 assists, and 573 points.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's a versatile guy.
He is. Yeah, absolutely. And I really feel as though, you know, with the Raptors, that's going to be something that they're really going to be able to look forward to if they can get him. So let's move on now to the New York Knicks. And we know the Knicks could use quite a bit of help, but somebody that could really provide a lot of that help would be Mr. Jalen Smith out of Maryland. Talk to me a little bit about Jalen.
He's from Maryland. We'll put that out first. That's a good start. Mm-hmm. He's 54% from the field, 37% from three, and 75% from the line. This is a 6'10" guy, 225-pounder, 75% from the line.
Yeah, you know, one thing I'd kind of think about with Jalen Smith is he's really going to have to get a little bit better about, like, adding a little more size to his game, because he is kind of, you know, he is a muscular guy, but he's also a little pretty skinny as well. So I feel like he will add that kind of weight when he gets into the NBA.
Absolutely. I mean, he did have 73 blocks.
That's true. That's true. And I mean, his wingspan and the height of him really is helpful to them. And he was always the cleanup guy, really, is the way to put it.
This is my favorite stat between all these other people we'll get into, all these other athletes. This guy had more defensive rebounds at 227 this year than his total rebounds last year. He had 225 offensive and defensive rebounds combined.
Yeah, no, the production that we saw from Jalen Smith this year is really what put Maryland in the driver's seat in the Big Ten. So I really felt, though, that he really brought a lot to the table for the Terps. Let's move on now to the Boston Celtics pick at number 26. And for me, one of my personal favorite people in this draft, Vernon Carey Jr., man out of Duke, big center out of Duke. The guy played great basketball all season. He was one of the best big men. 17.8 points per game and 8.8, almost a double-double.
Almost, you know, a double-double. Yeah, almost there.
272 rebounds. I mean, really his main factor and something that's really going to be tough for people to stop at the next level is his ability to get to the line and convert those and ones. Because
yeah, I'm not a fan of that. I didn't like seeing that consistently. He would get down the paint, bulldoze his way through, make an easy post shot. I say easy. The dude is 6'10", 265.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that were me doing it, it's not easy.
No, absolutely.
But him doing that, and then he'll make the free throw too.
Yeah, he's definitely fierce competition, and he's going to be something at the next level that can really, with his size and his presence underneath, it's going to be good for whatever team, especially if it's the Boston Celtics. I mean, somebody with Enes Kanter and stuff, I mean, it'll be a great addition to their team. Let's move on now to the Oklahoma City Thunder, the pick that they got from Denver.
Yeah.
We'll not see if Denver. Tyler Bay can execute, the guy, the small forward out of Colorado. So talk to us a little bit about him.
So obviously he's got to be a stud. He's from the state of Colorado, and that is one of the best states you can be born out of. He almost averaged a double-double, 13 points a game and 9 rebounds a game. 53% field goal shooter and 42% from three.
Yeah,
absolutely. Shot's not bad. Absolutely. I wish he was going to the Nuggets.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and really with the Oklahoma City Thunder, the production that they got from Chris Paul, they really had a shocking season and how well they did. I know that a lot of people thought that trade with Russell Westbrook was really going to be a horrible trade for them and they were not going to end up with a good season. But they really had a good season and they really had a lot of production from other areas. And adding Tyler Bay will really just add on to that. So let's move on now to number 24, and that is Utah Jazz. Somebody that's very close to my heart, somebody that I'm really going to miss at the next level leaving us, is Trey Jones.
And he's a player. Can't come back. He's a player. I know. He's gone.
The Jones brothers, I'm hoping, Debbie Jones, that you have some kid that we just don't know about yet that's going to commit to Duke down the road. I don't know.
Wow.
But she's or not. A secret. but he was a clutch player. You know, the ability he had, knocking it off the rim at UNC and being able to lead his team back, somebody that was an ACC Defensive Player of the Year, somebody ACC Player of the Year, showed a lot of senior leadership at the sophomore position. I mean, the sophomore season that he had, really being somebody that at the point guard position, we all know that that's something that you have to be
right,
showing leadership and being able to communicate. And I felt that Trey Jones really did that.
Oh, absolutely. Did you not see that pass that led to the buzzer beater? Some people say it's a shot. He was credited with an assist.
Absolutely. Yeah, no.
If you're going to airball it, make sure someone on your team is there.
I'm just glad Wendell Moore is coming back next year. But
I'm not.
Tyus Jones, we saw a lot of Tyus Jones in him, and really, I think having that brotherly, you know, advantage, having somebody that already played at Duke, being able to talk him through it, and we'll see that next year with Puff Johnson, see how that transpires with how Cam Johnson played. So for Carolina, but we'll move on now to number 23, and that is the Miami Heat, and we think that they will pick up Patrick Williams. And Zach, talk to us a little bit about Patrick. We saw him in the ACC quite a bit.
He's a big, big guy, 6'8", 225 pounder. But you don't expect it by looking at these numbers. An 84% free throw shooter, 30 blocks, 29 steals.
Yeah.
You don't think he's a big
29 guy. 29 steals. I mean, for a big, it's kind of wild, really. And somebody that we saw a lot of, and we saw how Florida State really made their mark on the ACC this year and winning.
They are the champions.
Going out to be the champions no matter what, you know. Despite it, they're going to be able to hold that banner. But really, just somebody that really was able to be good off the ball and being able to create turnovers and really being able to be that big presence down low.
There's
really
transition points.
Absolutely.
That's what wins games.
Absolutely. So let's move on now to the 76ers. Their pick from the Oklahoma City Thunder. We're going to go with Isaiah Stewart. Isaiah Stewart, somebody that I really wanted to be at Duke. Somebody that I felt as though he really brought a lot to the table coming out of high school. You know, going to Washington was kind of a shocking move, but really Washington didn't really have that season that we thought they would have with him and the other recruits coming in, and we'll talk about another one coming up. But, you know, Isaiah Stewart still 17 points per game, led the team in points, and 8.8 rebounds per game, 77% from the line. For a big man, that is not bad.
So. It's not bad, and I'm glad he didn't go to an ACC team for multiple reasons. Because I'm a Tar Heel fan, and he would light us up.
He was a tough guy.
Right, but also, him not being in, like, in my mind, there's the Power 4 conferences, and then Pac-12 makes the Power 5.
Right, yeah, for sure.
If he were in a different Power 5 conference, I don't think he would have led the team in points. I don't think he would have had a standout season.
I think it really helped him stand out a lot, yeah, for sure. So let's go on to your favorite team, the Denver Nuggets, and see what we got here from the Rockets. Talk about the Denver Nuggets pick coming up here.
I have them picking up Theo Maledon. He's a 6'4", 174-pound point guard. He's international, so I don't know a lot about him, but I do know he has 3 professional seasons under his belt overseas, and he's 46%
from the field. Yeah, that is huge, and really, I feel that that's going to be help him be very efficient at the next level. Now, although he, you know, 6'4", 174 pounds, I think he still might add some weight to him. They might add some muscle to him, you know, off season. Hopefully not too much weight. Go over Jokic won't be.
hey, there's only one slow guy. MVP. Yes. MVP.
But, you know, it's going to be one of those things that I see Theo really being able to produce for Denver, and I feel as though with the team that they already have, he's just going to fit right into the lineup, and he's going to be somebody that can come in and being able to take out, you know, whether it's Jamal Murray or either Harris, it really doesn't matter. He's going to be
whenever foul trouble happens.
That's true.
Which Gary Harris, it'll be that or injuries. I hope not.
Yeah.
But Theo Maledon could step up.
Right. And so, like we were talking about with Washington, though, the Brooklyn Nets, we think will pick up Jaden McDaniels at number 20 here. Jaden McDaniels is 6'10", 184 pound small forward from Washington. Really like this, like we talked about, a disappointing season there for the Huskies, but having him and Isaiah Stewart was really a good fit for the team, and they kind of were able to mesh well together. Is there anything else that you can say about Jaden?
They were efficient together, but when you look just at Jaden, he was an efficient forward and he produced 13 points a game. That's about all you can put out there. I don't know how they would produce separately.
Right, and well, I guess we'll find that out.
But we'll find out. You know, they're both first-round picks.
Now, him going, you know, somebody, and basically any player right now going to the team, being able to go to going to the Brooklyn Nets, having, you know, you're going in with Kyrie Irving and going with Kevin Durant. Like, you're going to have some things going right already there. So it's probably not going to be too hard for you to mesh in with the lineup.
Absolutely not.
So let's go on now to the Milwaukee Bucks. Their pick from the Pacers, Nico Mannion, is what we project. And Nico Mannion was somebody I really liked coming out of high school. He was somebody that I felt was just an all-around great player, the Red Rocket. He was just 14 points per game, 2.6 turnovers per game. But he also needs to work on his three-point shooting. So
you say Red Rocket. Is that a known nickname?
That's my nickname I gave him. Just the ginger hair and being able to explode and the way that he can get to the rim. That's what I like. So
I think
Nico,
you should let him know.
Nico,
Red Rocket.
Hey, Nico, that's for me. In case you trademark that, just hire me up and I'll hit you up. We'll talk. But
please work on your three-point game.
Pretty much it. That's all he needs to work on, really. So let's go on now to the Dallas Mavericks. Talk to us a little bit about here. We got Aaron Nesmith, you know, the small forward out of Vanderbilt. Talk to us a little bit about him.
This guy is an offensive juggernaut. 51% field goal shooter this past year. 52% from three, which is a nearly 20% improvement from his freshman year.
Yeah.
He maintained an 83% free throw percentage, but he needs to work on defense. I told you he's an offensive juggernaut.
Right.
If he can...
Well, the NBA is a perfect place for him.
They don't play defense.
But you know,
Jones is gonna fight.
That's true. He's like, what the heck? I'm gonna have to bring something new.
Otherwise, he'd be top 10 pick.
I know exactly. So, you know, having Aaron Nesmith really is gonna be a player. You know, like we talked about with other players, just playing in that conference and having all the amazing talent around you, that's gonna really bode well for his projected pick. And I think that's gonna be something that the Dallas Mavericks look at. And it seems now that they're kind of building around Luka Doncic. So.
As they should. He is the future.
He is definitely the future. So let's move on now to the Boston Celtics. Their pick from the Grizzlies, Paul Reed. Let's hear a lot about Paul Reed from you because, you know, many people might not know because he's from DePaul. So
So he's a DePaul's a Big East team. What people don't know is Central Michigan, that's the team I work with for basketball. We played DePaul. Paul Reed put up over half the points for DePaul, and Central Michigan lost by like 20. He averaged 15 points a game, and he faced a fierce competition in the base in Marquette, right, in Villanova. And we're kind of shocked Villanova to have the season that, you know, yeah, you kind of think they're usually the up their team.
Right.
And I think it's kind of because these players like Paul Reed, you know, they brought these smaller teams that were great in, like, the CBI last year.
Right.
And executed it correctly.
Yeah, and I think so. And I do think Paul Reed will just be somebody that, coming off the bench for the Celtics like Williams did this year, and being able to have him will really bode well for them, and having somebody that can bring that production, and even like a Romeo Langford, somebody, they have that young talent that they're going to need to come off the bench and replace people like Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. So we might see that with the Boston Celtics. So moving on now, we'll go to the 16th pick, and this is the Minnesota Timberwolves, the pick they got from the Nets. And we project another Arizona guy going out, and that is Josh Green. Talk to us a little bit about Josh Green.
Well, he complimented the Red Rocket.
Yes.
He complimented Nico Mannion very well.
Yes.
He's a 206-pounder, 6'6" shooting guard. He averaged 12 points a game, 42% from the field, 36% from three, and a 78% free throw shooter. This guy was versatile.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And I think, really, if you look at Josh Green and what he produced, I watched him a lot out of high school. And some guy that can really explode when he gets to the rim. And it's a player that we look at and we see all the amazing things that he does. And we thought at that point in high school, we were like, gosh, we gave him, you know, a great point guard, set him up and stuff. And Nico Mannion was that player. And that was something that they were really able, they already had that connection together kind of going into the season. Arizona didn't really have the, you know, season we expected them to have. However, Josh Green, he's going to be a great NBA player. I have no doubt about it.
Move up to the top 15.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the Orlando Magic. Alexei Pokudzewski. that's a mouthful. But 7 foot, 201-pound power forward, international. You know, pretty much 10 points per game.
Yeah,
you know,
closer to 10.
Closer to 10. 7.3 rebounds per game and 2.8 assists per game. It's pretty solid stats.
It's pretty solid, especially for overseas.
Oh, and especially if you're 7 foot tall and you have a 7'3 wingspan.
Right, and he's the third best power forward.
Yeah.
In this draft, in my opinion, maybe your opinion too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, he is for sure. And I really think that that's going to be one of those things that we look at and see just how much of an asset he can be. You know, they have the height there, but once again, it's kind of going to be one of those things that I feel like with the Magic and with other teams, with drafting these really tall players with the long wingspan, it's all about injuries and really keeping those under control and limiting minutes and being able to do that.
And so, I think Pokuševski will have – he'll be that next guy up.
I think so too. I think it'll be good for them. So let's move on now to the Portland Trailblazers, which – drafting here, we have them going with Sadiq Bey, the small forward out of Villanova. And talk to us about that one stat that we talked about before the show.
This one stat, you really hate it for me. You know, I already brought up that Villanova didn't produce the same as they should have in the Big East.
Right.
But he's 1 point shy of 500 points this season.
Yeah, absolutely.
1 point shy. Make one free throw and you're good.
I felt the same way, and I really felt that they should have had a better season. You know, you're still coached by Jay Wright, and you really have all this – you know, especially recently, you've had all these banners being hung and you've had the experience. And I think that the players kind of just assumed that would come this year. Right. And that's kind of what they did going in. And that's kind of why they didn't have the season that they thought. And there was also a lot more threat in the Big East.
There was. But, you know, on the bright side with Sadiq Bey, he improved drastically on offense his sophomore year. He's 8% better from three, 12% better from the free throw line, and an overall better defensive player.
I think so too. Yeah, absolutely. So let's go on now to the 13th pick, and that is Devin Vassell, 6'7", 194-pound shooting guard slash small forward out of Florida State. And we talked already about Florida State and the success that they had this year.
The ACC champions.
Absolutely. And some guys shot 49% field goal percentage. That's not too bad. You know, he led the team in points and rebounds. So, I mean, what else can we say about Devin Vassell? I mean, really.
I would have loved to see him in March Madness because he was having a career season this season.
Absolutely.
But hopefully he'll make it in the NBA as we have him number 13 in the draft.
Yep, he's gone too. So
love it.
let's go on now to the Sacramento Kings with the 12th pick here. Tyrese Maxey, who somebody I kind of felt was a little underrated here, because Tyrese Maxey, what we saw from him was a lot of, during the Michigan State game especially, the first game of the season, he really showed his worth and showed that he can really produce. And being somebody that can really work hard and being a player that can shoot at the next level. I really felt as though Tyrese Maxey, somebody that averaged 14 points per game, 43% shooter, and 83% free throw shooter, he's a valuable asset to
the
team.
But I like how you said how he was like an underrated player.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for a player out of Kentucky to be an underrated player.
It's true.
But he was always that way.
Yeah, he was.
He found a way to get open, but they also didn't focus just on him.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, yeah, no. And I really think that Tyrese Maxey will be somebody that at the next level could turn into somebody like a, you never know, it could be like a Gary Harris or something, because he can shoot the deep ball and being able to really produce, so we'll see. But
I just hope he doesn't get injured as much as Gary Harris.
Yeah, let's move on now to the 11th pick, and that is the San Antonio Spurs, and we think that they're going to go with R.J. Hampton. R.J. Hampton was supposed to go, first he was going to go to Duke, and then Trey Jones came back, and then Kansas, and he just decided to go overseas. And it's going to be something that we see, and we're going to wonder, how well do you think this is going to go for him, being somebody that played overseas? Because he had that decision, and he had those offers, but he decided to go overseas. So what do you think about that?
I think the best decision for him while going overseas was to work on his ball handling. Mm-hmm. His handles are off the charts.
Yes.
And I think playing professionally overseas boosted his confidence and showed that he can play with professionals.
Right.
But can he transition it into the NBA professionals?
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. And we wish the best for R.J. Hampton, because he was an outstanding player, and I really hope he produces. But talking now, we're going to go to the top 10 players here. And this is the top 10 of the draft board, and this is something that we really looked forward to talking about. We're going to start here at the 10th pick, Phoenix Suns, Tyrese Haliburton. So talk just a little bit, Tyrese here.
6'5", 175-pound point guard out of Iowa State. Yeah. This is a team people don't pay attention to, but then when March Madness rolls around, they're a threat.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
This guy, Tyrese Haliburton, 15 points a game, 5 rebounds a game, and 5 assists per game. Shot 41% from three-point land.
Mm-hmm.
I think without Haliburton, I don't think Iowa State would have a prospect.
Absolutely, no. And really, Iowa State was somebody, as was a team that we've seen time and time again, just how they really have to deal with all these big teams that they're playing. But they always give them pretty much a good run.
They always give them great runs.
And, you know, Haliburton's really a reason for that. So I really think that he will be good, especially in the Suns, and being able to add addition to that mix, like, you know, with Ayton and Booker, and it'll be a good little mix there for the Suns that they decide to draft him. So let's move on to the number 9 pick, the Washington Wizards.
Isaac Okoro.
Yes.
6'9", 215-pounder from Auburn. Tell me about it.
He's a monster, man. I mean, yeah, he was a 4-star recruit out of McEachern High School in Georgia, you know, winning a state title there and achieving national success as a senior. 51% shooter and 13 points per game, you know, 51% shooter. I mean, he's solid all around. And especially at Auburn, like we talked about, playing that hard talent and being able to really excel, even though you're playing all these tough teams and all these tough players that will eventually go to the NBA. And being coached under Bruce Pearl doesn't help either. So, I mean, doesn't make anything worse. It doesn't help.
Hey, who's on top 10?
Yeah, so let's go to number 8, the man who won National Player of the Year.
He's also part of the National Champions.
Yeah, and also simulated National Champions.
Sorry, do you think they put the banner up too?
I don't know if they do.
If Florida State does, they should.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess you could go with that. Let's go with Obi Toppin here.
Obi Toppin.
And it could be to the Hornets, which he plays just like Miles Bridges, so do they really need Obi Toppin?
But they need a productive big man, and Miles Bridges has a little bit of tendency of not to be consistent.
Yeah, I think so. However, I think he plays so similar to Toppin.
That's why they draft him.
They just need another one. Yeah, it's just, we need more it's of that Charlotte. Guy. We need more of that guy.
It's Charlotte.
This is what I'm talking about, Hornets. This is the problems we have. No, there's no, you know, the big man is needed. They also need a like a proficient scorer. They just the.
Hey, when they get scores, they trade them away.
That's true. Or they take big contracts, Batum, and do not know what to do with it. So, you know, it's just one of those things that I feel as I'm speaking for a lot of Charlotte Hornets fans that something's got to change with the drafting. Make that move. Try to get a little earlier. Try to get, I don't know, at this point, what you really need. I need a whole lot. So, let's go on to your favorite player in the draft. Hey.
I wish he would stay.
Number seven here.
Wish he would have stayed for the Chicago Bulls is Cole Anthony. 6'3", 184 pound stud out of North Carolina who got hurt way too much.
Mm-hmm.
He even said, why do I keep getting hurt? Me? It's because you don't pass the ball.
Hey, man. You got to wonder who to pass to those. I mean, he had to get a lot done. But you also think about this is an interesting pick if the Chicago Bulls do pick this because they already went with a point guard last year out of Carolina with Coby White.
I wish he stayed too.
Yeah, true. So do you think that they're trying to add the backcourt of like a CJ McCollum and a Damian Lillard kind of thing?
That'd be nasty.
Do you think that's what they're going for? Or do you
I don't know what the Bulls are going for, but that's what – if they pick Cole, yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's got the shooting technique.
They have shooting. They both need to work on defense.
Mm-hmm, right.
They're both not great at guarding the guards.
Ball and
they can guard the big guys. They just let them score.
Yeah, yeah. Which all point guards do.
Right. So, you know, Cole Anthony, wish he would stay. He's not. He's gone top 10.
All right. So let's go now to the New York Knicks, Anthony Edwards. You know, a 6'5", 225-pound shooting guard from Georgia. Now, Zach put him here at the 6'5".
I was about to say.
I put him very high.
I was about to say, we had a discussion where you're like, why on earth is he number 6? He should be 1 or 2.
Now, if the Knicks get him, though, they're in business because he is a monster. And I saw that man hangs in the air for like 5 seconds if you want him to.
I can too if I'm on a trampoline.
He floats. He does. And the thing about Anthony Edwards is he is the greatest step back. He's a great step back scorer. I don't think that he gets to the rim as much as he should because
he's number 6.
That I guess, yeah.
That's something worked on. He can't do a step back.
But then you also got to think about he stood out of Georgia with a lot less talent on the team, too. So would you, if he went to like a, you know, Duke or even a Florida State this year, which he was in his top 5, would you, like, you know.
Here's the thing. If he went to Florida State, he would have been a conference champion.
That's true. Okay, yeah, fair enough.
But
he might not have averaged those many points because he averaged
maybe 19 points a game.
Averaged 19
Devin
points
Vassell
a game.
Would have those points.
Yeah, 5.2 rebounds a game and 2.8 assists. Made 40% of his shots, so, you know.
He's a good guy. You know, he might go sooner than
he might,
6.
He might.
But I think the top 5 picks stand out a little bit more.
Okay, fair enough. So let's go on now with that. Getting into the top 5 here. Let's go with the Detroit Pistons. Onyeka Okongwu. 6'9", 245-pound power forward / center out of USC. Talk to us a little bit about him.
He averages 16 points a game, 8.6 assists per game, almost a double-double. Kind of like Vernon Carey.
Mm-hmm, right.
He led the team to a 22-9 season.
And for USC, that wasn't bad.
It's not bad. And is Anthony Edwards better than Okongwu? Yes. But the Pistons need a big guy.
Right. You got to think about their picks.
Guy.
Yeah, you got to think about their picks. They do. And especially with the departure of Drummond and losing, you know, and
exactly.
All that.
Exactly. And that's where Okongwu fits in.
Absolutely.
He might be a starter next year.
Yeah, he might be. And this will be an interesting pick right here just because of the wild attention that this man gets all the time is Mr. LaMelo Ball going in at number 4 to the Atlanta Hawks. So that is an interesting pickup. And it'll be really interesting to me to see how he meshes with Trae Young.
I was about to say, so, him and Trae Young,
you might as well have
a 6-point line.
Yeah, I know. I was just about to say,
hey, get the ball to
both
half
of
court.
Them will shoot at like half court, so that could be interesting. And weird fact about LaMelo Ball is just that he has become the co-owner of his former Australian team. So ironically, that's very Fun fact for you.
I like it. I like how you also didn't attack me saying I have him going before Anthony Edwards. But
you know, it's
but I think Ball goes sooner due to the name.
Mm-hmm. LaMelo did. I mean, you know. Lonzo. All those ball
There's
brothers.
There's LiAngelo,
the
too.
The LiAngelo and the ball brothers are everywhere.
No, but Lonzo went number two.
Right.
And so, he has recent success. Now, his...
They have a different game. A very different game.
They do. One of them...
One of them shoots from half court.
Right. The other one sits on the bench.
does the exact opposite. But, you know, I think that... I really do think that Lonzo Ball is going to make his... He's in a better setting now with New Orleans, so it'll be interesting to see if the Hawks go with him, how those two will mesh. So let's move on now to the top three picks here, and starting out at number three, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Who do you think they will add to their roster?
Denny Avdija, a 6'9", 215-pound small forward. He's international, and he's young. Mm-hmm. He's 19 years old, and he's an Israeli professional basketball player of the Israeli Premier League, and that's in the EuroLeague. He's kind of the combo forward who, in my opinion, he can guard at least three spots. So two spot, three spot, and four spot.
I think so, too.
And I think that versatile style in that he can guard that much,
yeah,
that puts him in top three.
Yeah, he adds a lot to the table, and especially with like the way that he is able, and it's kind of his size, too. He's kind of in a perfect position. Somebody that's 6'9", 215, but he moves well off the ball as well. And really, his defense is kind of what stood out to people a lot. He runs the fast break a lot, too. So that'll be really interesting to see and how the Timberwolves can use him. So that'll be interesting. And having to deal with, you know, Russell now, D-Russ, and being able to deal with that, it'll be cool to watch. Let's move on now to the Cleveland Cavaliers here. They're locked in at that pick. So
they are. And
Killian Hayes.
I think this is where you would have put Anthony Edwards, if not one more spot up.
Yeah, it is. Because, you know, Killian Hayes, though, I will say, that's a great pickup if they did. And this is kind of where I think that you did go with this pick and why. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's because of what they need, the Cavaliers. Right. Now, I do think it's a little weird because they did go with Colin Sexton and then Darius Garland. So how do you think he will fit into the lineup here?
It's the size. You know, for a point guard or a shooting guard, he can be either one. 6'5", 187. He's from France.
Mm-hmm.
So I think having more of that international style rather than the guy in Anthony Edwards from Georgia, where he's had connection with the SEC.
Yeah.
I don't think they can see. To me, that's where Anthony Edwards falls.
Right.
They showed his best in a power conference that had Kentucky and Auburn as top teams this year.
Yeah, they did. For
and
sure.
Georgia didn't. They were in the tournament. You know, they were. Right. They weren't. But they weren't a top.
Hey, everybody five. Everybody was on the bubble this year.
But they weren't a top five SEC team.
Right. Yeah.
And people that see the international side, it's kind of more of a gamble.
It is. It definitely is. And I think it's a completely different game over there. And that's something that, you know, when we talk about all these international players, they're all going to have to make adjustments to this. And you know, somebody like Doncic, who we saw, Porzingis, people that can make that adjustment. So it's going to be interesting to see, especially with the Cavaliers, how they're able to. I mean, nobody's going to fill LeBron's shoes, let's be honest, but that is a good pickup for them. So let's go on to our number one pick, who you picked to go number one.
I cannot believe the Golden State Warriors had the number one overall pick. And it's locked.
This is what a funny way life goes out. But, and it's locked, yeah. But let's go, and you said Mr. James Wiseman. So, interesting James Wiseman, because we didn't see a lot of him in college.
Yeah, he played three games.
2-1 record, you know, that's lost to Oregon, 82-74.
They were the 13th ranked team
that's
in the country,
true.
Come
we
on.
Can't, yeah, we can't.
Later on, Oregon would lose
we can't
to Carolina.
Discredit that. Exactly, we can't discredit that. But he also didn't play a single conference game, and that's kind of the thing we look at the most, and we got to think about how well would he have done against that, and... But we did see a lot of him in high school and a lot of how he, you know, how he was able to play and dismantle
people.
I mean,
you're a Duke fan. Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, but I will say Kyrie played quite a bit more, but
six games.
He played like eight. But Kyrie, yeah, no, it was one of those things that people saw the handles from high school and also saw a travel ball. And that's the great thing about all this stuff, though, is the fact that these players do these AAU stuff, so they're not just looking at their high school teams, the teams that they play, all these little kids and they're dominating on. Because if you watch Zion State from high school, you would have thought that you're like, oh, this guy's going to suck in the next level, because look at the kids he's playing. He's like 4 feet taller than everybody else. So I think that James Wiseman will be good no matter what team he goes on.
No.
But I think that you picked him to go here, too, because of what Golden State needs. And that
they
is a big
need man. A big guy. James Wiseman, is the tallest player in this draft.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's 7'1", 237 pounds.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to be something that if they get him go, dude, I can't imagine. I've
seen the Warriors in the finals
before. Yeah, if I see the Warriors with James Wiseman on the team and he stays healthy, you know that's going to be a dangerous.
You know who I haven't seen the finals? The Nuggets.
Yeah, I know. Hey, Hornets fans know the same way, man. Same with the Knicks. It's been a long time. But so now we're going to go on. We're going to end the show a little differently than we did before. Talk to us about what's going to happen here, Zach.
Yeah, for some high school seniors going to be on the show, they were taken away from their prom, their senior graduation. So I have two of them. One of them's from North Davidson. The other's from West Forsyth.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to end the show completely. We're going to have an Olympic prospect. And he's also my cousin, Tucker. We're going to have high school, Olympic, high school, so that we can get him all through.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's, you know, he's a swimmer and something that we unfortunately missed out on watching this Olympics, but he's going to be ready for next season. We have no doubt that Tucker's going to be there next season.
The only good thing for it is he's guaranteed an Olympic trials spot next year.
That's good for him. Yeah, no. So we're going to cut to that, and we'll get to hear a little bit of them and hear how Zach conducted these interviews with these guys, and we will see you guys next time on Mike's Divided.
Now on Mike's Divided, we have Evan Johnson from North Davidson. Evan, how have you been coping since the stay-at-home came into place?
It's been interesting. It's been pretty well, though. Staying at home, you have a lot more distractions. You have the phone, just listening to music or watching YouTube videos, what have you. So just staying at home, it distracted me. And then being at school, I understand that value where you're not as distracted as much. You have someone over you. And also, like, the interactions with the teachers is very important. Sure, we have, like, Zoom at home where you can do teleclasses or whatever you want to call it. But being with the teacher at school really helps you understand how to think instead of just going through a process with certain problems.
So you say that you're listening to music, you're watching YouTube videos. What type of music are you into?
I like a lot of jazz. I listen to all types of music. My favorite band is I like the Mitchell Milan Folkpack.
Nice.
I like instrumental, funky music. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, I feel you on that 100%. When I was in school, I was a trumpet player, so I definitely get that jazz style. Big fan of it. Completely understand. How has this pandemic affected you personally?
So, it's been really interesting. What we've done with my grandma and my aunt, every Saturday, we actually have a FaceTime, so with three or four people. And it really sucks that I can't see them in person. The other day, we went to my grandma's, but we left letters for her on her back porch. We could only say hi through, like, the screen, and that was just really unfortunate that we just couldn't.
It's not the same where you say you can feel the touch through the windowsill, but at the same time, it's not the same as that physical to actually give your grandparents a hug. I get that. I'm in the same circumstance with my family. And let's move on to a happier subject in a way, but not quite the same as it usually is. Let's talk into the sports world. So how have you been affected by the sports world?
I miss listening to Orioles on the radio. Where I live, you can't watch the games even with the free game of the day because it's blacked out. So I like listening to the Orioles on the radio. I used to do that a lot more, but I definitely miss the Hurricanes as well. Missing Sebastian Aho score every game. Well, not every game, but
I know the feeling. Whenever the Hurricanes score, it's usually Aho.
Well, I mean, Aho scores a lot, so there's a lot of other people that...
I mean, that's like me with the Avalanche, though. You know, I'm all about McKinnon, so...
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, but you're a high school track runner, so yeah. How did that feel, that knowing that your senior slate is gone?
It's what you would think it would be. It sucks a lot. I wanted to improve a lot, go down my mile time by at least 10 seconds this year, but... Just knowing that I'm going to miss out on experiences that I had, like, in cross country, it just really sucks.
Yeah, I know. I was a cross country runner and track runner myself at Ledford.
And my senior year, you know, that's where the colleges look at. They look at all 4 years, and my senior slate was not as fantastically looking as it should have been because I had an extraordinary junior year, and then I tore my ACL. So that lost my scholarship. But I got it back. You know, I became a walk-on at Catawba and then ended up not pursuing running at all after, you know, I just wasn't into it as I used to be. But how do you feel now that you don't have that senior record in a way? Like, how are you going to pursue college? Or do you plan on running at the next level?
Not necessarily. I wanted to focus more on my academic side of things with meteorology instead of focusing on running. But if they want to call me onto the team, I'll definitely consider it. The low chances, but still I'm going to be running. Maybe do the intramural club, just running wherever they have for me to run with. I already have someone to run with, so.
Well, that's good. As long as they're 6 feet apart. Whenever, that's how I'm coping right now is, you know, working out. You're still allowed to run outside, so that's helpful. Are you doing any other exercise besides just running, or?
Well, I've been riding my bike a lot. So at least 45 minutes every day, I've been riding my bike throughout the neighborhood. It's been really nice.
Yeah, that's you know, I was about to say, the weather here has been pretty nice outside.
It actually has been. I mean, it's good for baseball, but that's not
happening. But, you know, not everybody gets to play baseball right now. It's not something we can joke about, but at the same time, you know, it's how the sports world has been coping is we're watching these reruns, we're watching the classics. But personally, I'm kind of tired of watching these classics. You know, I'm not going to watch a Duke Carolina game where Austin Rivers makes a buzzer beater because I'm a big Tar Heel fan. And that to me is not fun watching. When that's on ESPN, I'm changing the channel.
I mean, I like the MLB Vault stuff that they have with the Orioles. I like going back and just, because my favorite Orioles team ever is the 1970 team. That was probably when they won the World Series. Just that stretch of time between 1966 and 71 for the Orioles was like a dynasty, which I like to go back and look at.
Right. Yeah. That sounds, you know, it sounds nice because, you know, no shame here, but the Orioles aren't a great team.
Nope.
But it means you're a true fan, so I like it. Do you have any final words, anything you want to say before you're off the air?
Stay safe, stay at home.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Evan. We will keep you updated, and you please stay home, stay safe.
Now on the show is one of my cousins, Tucker. Tucker, so you're at Chapel Hill now. How has this been coping for you at your stay at home?
It's been really well. You know, it's been nice to come back home and spend some time with family that I, you know, didn't think I was going to get after last summer. So, you know, that's definitely a positive. And I think, you know, as we're going throughout this pandemic, or, you know, this, you know, stay at home, it's definitely nice to look for positives. And so that's definitely one of them. But yeah, just trying to keep myself from being bored and trying to do stuff around the house. But yeah, being a family is a big, big plus with this.
I agree 100%. That's, you know, family always comes first no matter what. How has this pandemic affected you first off in the sports world? And then we'll talk more personally.
Right. So I swim at UNC, and one big thing is the access to pools. So, you know, as many people know, all the pools are closed, whether it be Y's or even some neighborhood pools are closed because they don't want people together meeting together. So, you know, our access to training is really limited. And so we have had to kind of adjust the way we are training and keeping in shape, you know, on land. And so that's been a lot of weightlifting or cardio, you know, running or biking or whatever it may be, you know, whatever you can kind of find around the house. That's just kind of what it's been for us.
Yeah, for sure, man. I was about to say, you know, with swimming, since you're, you know, kind of grounded now, what type of exercises have you been, like, using to get the same type of goal?
Right, so one of the great things that I guess you can do is just, you know, go out and run. It keeps your cardio up, keeps you, you know, get your heart rate going. So that's one thing that I've been doing, you know, whether it be squats, push-ups, any type of abs, just trying to, you know, work all the muscles. Although, like, you can't, nothing can really get the workout that swimming gives you. You know, we just got to do the best we can.
Right. And I like the positivity with it. You're like, yeah, I understand that we can't, you know, get in the water, can't do the workouts how they're supposed to be done. But I like how you're having these other options. So the way it's keeping you kind of, you know, kind of sane in a way that you don't want to lose your shape and you want to keep things going. And that brings me on to the personally version. So I'm guessing everything is a little bit different on that personal side.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, now that it's way, you know, more exclusive to where it's only me at the house, you know, working out by myself, it's a little bit more difficult. And one thing we've tried to do as a team is still have like Zoom meetings, or, you know, keeping up with your friends or whatever. So that way, like, you don't get kind of like lost, mentally, I would say, during this time, because I think that's a really big part is, you know, the mental health portion of all this. And so just trying to keep that just as active as, you know, physical is, I think, really important to staying healthy and getting through this whole quarantine.
I love that. Love that. Yeah. And I, you know, I just graduated this past May, and I know that having classes online compared to in person is a little bit different, you know. Like, I feel like you're not, I don't want to say anything personally, but, like, I don't know if you learn the same, if it's the same. Mm-hmm. Like, do you feel like your material that you're learning is, like, generated the same way?
So, I definitely would say it depends on the class. I'm a stats major, and so some of my classes are mainly online or, you know, dealing with statistical software or something like that, so that is not that big of a deal to transition online. But some other classes where you have a little bit older professors, or, you know, they're used to just kind of writing on the chalkboard the whole time, it is a big change. And so it's harder, because I think on the student, it's causing a lot more self-learning, self-teaching.
Right.
And, you know, that's not exactly what we signed up for. So I think, you know, with the exceptions that the universities have put in place, whether it be like the pass-fail option and, you know, still counting for major requirements or gen ed requirements or whatever it may be, is really helpful, and because they recognize that too.
Well, I'm glad that it's more than just, you know, the student self-learning, that the professors are actually trying to teach the best they can. But other than that, let's get into the big sports thing with you. You qualified for the Olympic trials for the 100 back. First off, congratulations with that.
Thank you.
What is the next step for you?
So, the U.S. Olympic trials were supposed to happen, you know, obviously this next summer in June. And obviously, that's not happening. So we have not gotten word on when they are going to be next year. They will be at sometime next year. But, you know, it was obviously the right call for them to postpone the Olympics. You know, I think everyone's just glad that they didn't cancel it. And so, you know, the way I see it is that, you know, a lot of people are like, are you disappointed? You know, what's kind of going through your head? And the way I see it is like, I'll still be able to go next summer. You know, all it is just a pushback of a year.
Right.
And I think I'm really lucky because I'll still be able to go back to college, to UNC, and keep training this next year. I'll be going to my junior year. And, you know, so it'll just be like more fuel to the fire for me. I think for, you know, everyone. It's just a transition, and, you know, it's just changing. That's what all this is, just trying to be patient and learning how to adjust with everything going on.
Love it, love it. Thank you so much for your time. After we come back, we'll be with your brother, my other cousin, Cameron. I appreciate that you spent time in to talk, and hope you have a good rest of your semester.
Awesome. Thanks, Zach.
Hey, Cameron. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me.
So for the people that don't know, you are my other cousin on the Burhan side. And yes. First off, I want to say, how have you been coping since the stay-at-home came into place?
I've just been trying to keep myself as busy as possible. outside of the homework that my teachers are deciding to load me with. I've been trying to do a little bit of work around the house, working out more, doing some little projects with one of my neighbors. Currently, we are fixing up a go-kart engine as one of our projects, but yeah, I've just been trying to find little things to do to keep myself busy.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun, you know, putting up a go-kart, put that together. So can you explain, like, what type of exercises and what type of help you're doing for your parents?
Well, for, like, exercises for me, we have a little home gym in our basement. I'll just go down there and work out some. And then around the house, I try to help as much as possible. Like, if making food or helping with dinner, taking our dogs out more, just stuff like that.
Right, yeah, I know that type of feeling. You know, I'm kind of locked up here as well, and that's all I can do is, you know, make dinner and make sure the parents are happy. So how has the pandemic affected you, first off, personally? Like, go as far as you want in terms of school. You were a high school senior, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's definitely weird not being in school right now. It was nice to have a break, but, like, at this point, I kind of want to be back because, you know, you have those friends at school that you don't see outside of school, and I'm not sure if I'm going to get to see them again. And also, like, our prom was canceled. Not sure if we're even going to be able to walk for graduation. That's definitely weird. And not being able to leave the house much is also very weird. But it's also, it's allowed me to spend more time with my family, which I think it's nice. But again, it's just a weird situation.
Right. Personally. Yeah, I feel that, you know, and that's one of the most, like, some of the best memories you have in your high school senior life is your senior prom, and especially walking. And I can't imagine, I got word from Catawba, is that their senior class this year, they're still going to walk, but they're moving theirs. So they were set for May, and they're going to be walking in, like, July now. So I don't know if that's what your high school will end up doing or if they'll just not walk at all. Hopefully you guys will get to walk because that's, you know, prestigious.
Yeah, I hope so. Our school system does not know what's going on yet. We still don't even know what's happening with our third and fourth quarter grades yet.
Or that's, you know, I feel like that's something that needs to be settled out sooner rather than later, especially for the seniors. You know, there are some high school seniors that still haven't declared that, you know, they haven't been accepted. Yep. But yeah, now branching off into the sports world, so you're an avid fan of sports. How has that been affecting you only watching, like, reruns now?
Oh, it is killing me. I'm so used to, like, I love college and NBA, and those were both going on at the time, especially with March Madness. That was very disappointing not being able to see that. NBA games, you know, I watch those every night. So it's been a lot more boring not being able to watch those games. I mean, of course, they'll have the great reruns that they show of some of the most iconic games, both college and professional, but it's not the same. Just
right,
not
yeah. That it's live. Like, yeah, knowing just that games. You know who's going to win. You know, there's a lot of Duke Carolina games I just don't watch because whether it be an Austin Rivers buzzer beater, if it's a overtime buzzer beater, you know, I'm just not going to watch them because why put myself through it again? But yeah, there's you know, at least they're trying. They put on bowling a couple of times. They put on dodgeball. That was kind of cool to watch. There was one there, USA was battling Canada, and USA was down like 8 points, and they end up winning by 2 in overtime or something. I didn't know that was a thing, but
yeah, I remember I had seen like highlights from that on Instagram, and then they actually showed the entire game on TV.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
But absolutely. And then my final question for you. You've been a Duke fan your entire life. You're now officially a Tar Heel. Congratulations, by the way. You're joining the brighter side of the blue. But do you plan on changing your allegiance to the Tar Heel brand?
I do. I have started the transition. I own Carolina clothing now, which I never would have expected myself to do before. But I'm trying to convert right now. It's not an easy transition at all because I've been, again, a diehard Duke fan my entire life.
I mean, look at your name, Cameron, like Cameron Indoor.
And so the first step right now, I've gotten to the point where I can actually cheer for Carolina.
Now
I got to try to get myself to cheer against Duke. That's going to be the hard part.
Oh, see, that's what the fun thing in sports is. You know, you can always cheer for Carolina. Like me personally,
It's very easy for me not to cheer for Duke, but whenever it came to the NCAA tournament, I would kind of cheer for Duke because I wanted the ACC to win. So I think that'll be obviously next year. You'd have to wait an entire year to figure out how to not cheer for Duke. Yeah. But whenever March Madness rolls back around, you'd be like, all right, I can kind of cheer for Duke again. But if they're in the national championship, we are not cheering for Duke.
Oh, yeah.
But that's all I have for you. Thank you so much for being on. Stay safe, and hopefully you get to walk.
Yeah, yeah. I'm hoping. Thank you for having me.